Have you ever seen the skit The Californians on SNL?
Yeah.
Yes, like it's legit. We got six different directions from three different people while there, and they were very adamant we used the way they told us to take. But we took the 405, no, we took the 5 up to Los Angeles, and then we cut all the way across. So we got to see all of like the Hollywood Hills, Beverly Hills. Like we cut all the way across, and then we came down the Santa Monica Pier to Venice. And then we did happy hour at sunset at this rooftop restaurant right off Venice Beach. So, like, you look around. It's just fucking beautiful. It was so nice. Like, you go in to piss, and the urinal had a window, so you could still see the view. So, I was very appreciative of it. And then we drove back. So, we did a fucking 12-hour trip to Los Angeles one day, and it was worth it.
Alright, so at the time of this recording, the Rockets have just defeated the Toronto Raptors.
Yes. Right?
I want to talk about this game.
Alright. So
they just beat the Toronto Raptors on Saturday. No, Sunday. On Sunday, they beat Boston Celtics.
Yep.
Right? So we're now 2-0 on this road trip.
Mm-hmm.
We still have to play Philly this week on Friday. Yeah. And then I don't remember who, and then Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
After Golden State,
Charlotte,
then Golden State. Yeah. After Golden State, we have the 24th, it's the 24th hardest schedule, which is a long way around to say sixth easiest.
Yeah.
Well, the Oklahoma City Thunder goes way up. So I want to hear what you thought about these last two games, because now the Rockets finally look healthy. I said tonight after the game, whether we won, I told my wife, the Rockets are back. It's been so long. We've been waiting since May of last year, and they feel like they're back. This is the team that we should have had the opening of the season. Anyway, what do you think? What did you see about those? What are your takeaways from those two games, from where we are in the season? Let's take a few minutes and catch up on Rockets. We've been ignoring them lately.
I think they look the best I've seen them all year, and it's mostly because of the defense. Like, that defense looks legit for the first time all year.
Yeah.
It looks like legit. Like, they can put it up with anybody. I guess that Warriors game was the first real sign, but that Warriors game was sort of like the Warriors were just kind of like, you know? Like, the Warriors didn't really care about that game, and so the Rockets were like, all right, well, fuck you. We're taking it. And they took it. And the Warriors tried to come back, and it just didn't work out. But this game, when that third quarter, when the Toronto had all of the momentum, like, they had all of the momentum, the Rockets just missing shots, not getting the calls they were hoping for, just looked like they fell apart. They looked like the end of that Game 7 last year. Mm-hmm. And the way they bounced back, that second unit with Chris Paul right now is so good. It's the difference maker it was last year,
which is the biggest
difference, I think. Because and D'Antoni just playing matchups, because like Gary Clark, he played a lot in this game.
Well, Gary Clark's minutes will get swallowed up by Shumpert, because Shumpert has good stats against Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant. So I want to go back to you about Chris Paul. So I'm going to juice the hype train.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to pull the brake a little bit.
Okay.
So number one is, people love to say, what was the best trade deadline acquisition? And what's the hidden acquisition? Like, who's coming back from injury, right? And a lot of people were like, Gordon Hayward. And we can talk about how the Celtics are an obvious mess right now. But the greatest trade deadline acquisition any team has made is not Tobias Harris. It's the Rockets getting back Pete Chris Paul. He has looked amazing these last two since the break. He's looked phenomenal. Like,
his shot's still not there. He's still missing some like gimmies.
Yeah, his shot's on his way back, but everything else is there. And we don't need his shot more than we need everything else.
Yeah,
we need everything else, and his shot will come back. That's the one thing I'm not worried about, because his shot is mostly, other than his threes, which he's smart about which threes to take generally.
Yeah.
There was this one play in the Boston game where he missed a shot. There was a long rebound. He got the ball back and shot the same three again. And I was like, he's making that second one. And I was watching with my Boston buddy. And that's when they were starting to rally. He was excited. Like, he's making that second one. I was like, never let that guy try twice. He's hitting the second one for sure.
Yeah.
And that's probably not always true, but that's how confident he looks and how I feel about him right now. That being said, the second unit dominance on display 2 games in a row, I do have a question about that, because what we make of the fact that it seems like the fall off happens in the same spot every time, which is the start of the third. But before I get there, that second unit's dominance looks great. I do want to point out that it looks dominant because we've had back-to-back Gerald Green games where he's like 6 of 9. Like, so.
Oh, no. Gerald Green is the most frustrating guy on the team.
You know, I love Gerald Green. Yeah, I own a Gerald Green jersey. That's hometown.
Dude,
that's my
But he didn't have a good first half. Like, he got started hitting shots in the second half. That first half, it was a lot of Chris Paul. It was a lot of Eric Gordon. And then you can tell how good we're playing by if Eric Gordon's getting buckets. Like, if Eric Gordon's getting buckets, that's it. It's a wrap. You're not beating us.
Hey, I got a question. Because then that juices his defense too, and he's actually But do you think Eric Gordon is playing better after the trade deadline? Do you think he was sweating getting traded? We've always said that we won't trade him. We've always turned down trade offers for him. So analytically, obviously they love him. But I wonder if he was just like, yeah, they probably told Isaiah Thomas the same thing. They probably told somebody else the same thing, and there they go. So do you think that?
It could be. I mean, these guys like playing with each other. Yeah. Like, this is the most fun Rockets team. I mean, last year was fun, but, like, these guys just, like, it seems like since they had some adversity, they care even more about each other. Plus, some cohesion from last year, too. Like, these guys just, like, they're a team. Like, they feel like a team. Austin Rivers in there dapping up Harden as soon as he hits a shot. Like, all these guys fucking love playing together. I could see him not wanting to leave this.
Right. That brings up two things, especially in terms of, like, most valuable player conversations. And I don't want to have that conversation because I think, I think that if Harden, we catch the third seed and we're tied for the third seed right now, we hold on to it, Harden gets the MVP. If we lose it, he loses it.
It's Giannis's, man.
It's probably Giannis's, I think the NBA loves narrative. So we have a dogfight for the – if we're in a dogfight for the third seed and Harden's clearly the reason we get it,
yeah,
that could tip the scales. And they don't like giving it to two people because they don't like giving back-to-backs anymore because it feels like elevating a player higher than they want to. But whatever. Yeah. Besides that, people like playing with James Harden. And I think that in terms of most valuable, that is something to consider.
He's definitely got the player vote, like, or just like players, like, even tonight they were like, oh, this is my MVP. A lot of people, he might get it. He might steal it from Giannis.
I think Giannis might steal it from him, man. I think it's James's.
It's pretty even. Like, it's really, I think it's a coin flip and it's not a wrong choice.
Yeah, I think that I think coin flip goes to the Western Conference player every time. That's how I feel about that.
I don't know, man. The East is good teams at the top.
Yeah, there's 4 good teams in, like, what, 10 trash?
And, well, yeah, but also, like, they're, like, historically good. Like, they're a 60-win team. Like, they're, like...
Because they're playing in the East. I'm still not on... I just feel like I could get together the 7 tallest people I know, and I'll be the coach, and we could win 1 game out of 82 in the Eastern Conference.
Probably, but I don't.
We'll catch the Bulls on a bad night, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's also because, like, they're trying to lose on purpose.
Anyway, whatever. Yeah. Okay. Looks like we got a real shot at a third seed.
Did the Thunder lose? Because we should be tied then.
The Thunder and the Blazers both lost.
They both did lose. Okay, so we're tied. Okay, who has the tiebreaker?
Probably Oklahoma City, but we play Oklahoma City on the last night of the season.
Yeah, and that game won't matter.
Imagine if it does matter. Imagine if that game decides who's third and who's sixth. Some crazy Western Conference thing.
We'd rest. We don't care if we have. We don't care what our seed is.
Unless you think
we think we're the best. We think, like, the team itself thinks we're the second best team in the NBA.
Yeah, I guess that's true. We probably rest. We'll let them have it.
We'll rest. Like, we don't care. We take home court. We'll beat you wherever.
And Harden doesn't have to have this MVP.
No, he's got one.
He's got one.
He's gonna finish second for the third time in 5 years. Like
he's guaranteed his Hall of Fame slot. I think.
Mm-hmm. It's a wrap. Yeah,
it's a wrap.
Yeah,
he's gonna break Steph Curry's record for made threes this season. Yep. It's a wrap.
Yeah, that's a wrap. He's a Hall of Famer. Now, yeah. I just want him to kill the playoff narrative because he was really good last year and it wasn't enough. Like there was no real choking by him last year, but nobody. I mean, the team choked, so that kind of falls on him. But he was great all playoffs last year.
Yeah, he was awesome.
And it wasn't enough to kill the narrative. So he's got to kill that narrative.
Yeah. I mean, the Chris Paul injury mitigates that some because it's true. That's the reason we lost. We beat Golden State. We're not afraid of Golden State. No, and I'll say this about the Rockets, and I haven't proud about the Rockets for this is definitely my second favorite team. And this is why Harden to me is not just the second best Rocket. I don't even think that's debatable.
Yeah.
But I think just the Rocket we should be loved second most. And I don't think that's true because I think Houstonians have been thirsty for national recognition for a while and they get caught up in how the country feels about Harden.
Yeah.
But Harden led the team that when the Warriors doubled down on everything, Harden and Morey, when they like talk about Hall of Fame all-time Rockets, Morey number three for this reason. Morey maybe number two behind Hakeem for all-time greatest Rockets. And here's my argument. When the whole NBA shit their pants about the Warriors getting Kevin Durant, the Rockets were like, fuck that. We can beat them. Like, we know how. They almost did it, and it was just bad luck that they lost. They beat them. The Warriors let Chris Paul beat them because they don't want to try and lose at this point in the season. Yeah. Like, they are afraid of us. And you know what? I'm not saying I'm guaranteeing a victory. We're gelling late.
No, they're going to win because they can't get season swept by the Rockets.
No, I don't mean this next game. I'm talking about a series.
Okay.
In a series, I'm not guaranteeing victory or anything foolish like that, but I think that the Warriors are afraid of us. I think the Rockets are the only team in the NBA, the only franchise, not team. I don't mean group of guys. I mean a franchise who did not just shit their bed scared of the Warriors. Sort of the Spurs, but they fell apart because of the Kawhi Cavs. Leonard.
The Cavs were never scared of them, except for maybe last year.
I think that LeBron wasn't, but I think that's an interesting interesting one because they had to get another MVP to be LeBron. I got to think about that one because their team was assembled. I guess the reason I think about the Rockets, like they invested money in building a team that can beat the Warriors while Cleveland already had one. So I don't know. That's a good point. Cleveland probably wasn't afraid.
Yeah, Cleveland wasn't.
But everybody else was. And we went after them. And, you know, I'm just super proud of that team, and Harden is just—he's a fucking treasure. He's gonna end up having a statue out in front of Toyota Center, and he deserves it.
Oh yeah, he's gonna have. It's gonna be he's gonna have a statue.
Because you were talking about fun things to watch, and I love cheering for this team because to the point where even down to their reputation is like, fine, we'll play this ugly basketball, we'll let you have all the criticisms, call us for trying to find every single peg and loophole in the foul rules to try to get any advantage over this crazy team Golden State has built.
Oh, man, no, but the Harden dribbling, like, watching it tonight, and it worked to effect, like, it's like, okay, Harden's going to dribble for 20 seconds. Yeah, all four of the defenders are getting a good rest for 20 seconds so they can get ready to play more defense.
Right.
Like, it's brilliant. Like, that's why he's doing it.
And when he's on, and he seems to get a good idea of what to stop that. Because I'm not hitting. But when he's hitting, like, he hit those back step backs in the game tonight. So it burned one whole minute when they were down only eight with, like four, 5 minutes to go. And now they're down 12 with four. And it's just Harden dribbling the ball out of the air, out of the ball, and then two brutal step backs that let the defense rest. That's wrestling control of a game away. That's stealing momentum back. And I don't know how many players in the NBA can do that. Kevin Durant?
Yeah, LeBron, Durant Curry. Yeah, like the top five. Like, those are the only guys who can do it.
I don't even know that I can give Curry that. Curry is definitely a momentum stealer in a different way, but that sort of deliberately grind the game to a halt and ISO for...
No,
He could, but he doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't need to because he can shoot so quickly.
Kawhi and Paul George, I think, are second level versions of that, but they're not distributors the way that LeBron, Kevin Durant, and Harden can be.
Yeah.
I'm riding high on Rockets left right now. I'm so excited about
that. No, that was great. Like, once, like, that third quarter was rough, but then they bounced back, and once they took the lead, once they got to seven, I was like, okay, I feel like this is it. Like, we're back to where we were.
Right. No, yeah. when we left the fourth quarter tied, yeah. I was like, I'll take these odds on the road. I know we just blew a big lead. Mm-hmm. The Rockets are a jump shooting team, and endemic to all jump shooting teams, doesn't matter how good you are at it, you're going to go cold, and you're going to blow leads, and you're going to build leads. That's every jump shooting team.
We went on a run, they went on a run.
Right.
That's what happened. Like, it's, the Raptors are really fucking good.
Yeah, that defense.
Their defense on Harden. Like, that first three quarters, they kept him shut down for three quarters.
Shut down at 20 points.
I know. He still finished like 30 plus.
Yeah. Bad shooting night, though, but it never felt like he never feels like he's russing.
He was missing shots at the rim. Like, yeah. I wasn't mad about any of those misses early. Like, he didn't get a bounce off the glass. But he's at the rim. He's taking a shot at the rim. Like, okay, keep doing that.
And the threes he misses are threes the offense is designed to produce. Right. So it's sticking to the plan. It's not like Russ where he's doing those walk-up pop threes.
Yeah, because Russ isn't good at that. It's the thing. Like, Harden still shoots that shot at a high percentage. So just let him keep going. Eventually he'll make two in a row. And he did.
Yeah. Yeah. Brutal.
Yeah.
And the whole time, and I haven't felt this way since like April of last, like almost 11 months ago, I haven't felt this way. We got this. This will be fine. Yeah. Like last night with the Celtics game, the other night with the Celtics game, I was just never worried.
Yeah.
In a way I haven't felt before. I was like, we got Chris Paul and James Harden. One of them will save this.
Yeah. And Capella's playing such a fucking man. Capella's a beast right now.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and I'm excited about mixing Fareed back in there.
So yeah, I really like that Capella Fareed lineup.
Yeah, I wonder if they're holding Fareed out to let Clint get his bearings again.
That could be true. We have a lot of guys who can play.
Yeah,
even though we still play Joe Green a lot, even though like. Joe Green's so frustrating.
Hey man, go fade hometown. That's my boy.
I know.
I'm rocking my Joe Green next time I see.
Sorry, I accidentally disconnected my headphone. I'm hot from this game. All right, so who do you want the Rockets to play?
Oof. So there's a little bit of projecting the playoff seedings, but I mean, I get the Trailblazers.
Well, see, I think the difference between 3 through 6 is enough. Like, we know we're playing one of those teams.
I would love to play Denver. Because I think we would crush.
We're not playing Denver first. Like, they're not getting out of second.
No, yeah, you're talking about. Well, they seek the seventh. It could happen.
The West is
crazy. We could end up in seventh. We could be second. That's our spectrum right now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I would love to. I think Portland because they're the weak link. Portland's a bunch of punks, man. They're not for real. I got another start for Portland.
I think they match up good against us, though.
I think
they have the right mix of stuff to take the Rockets out in the first round.
Wait, who do they trade for? Rodney Hood? You're afraid of Rodney Hood? Like,
I'm afraid of Dame. I still got nightmares from Damian Lillard.
Fred Hard ain't on the team no more, man. We'll be fine. I guess that was a crazy shot. That was kind of a luck shot. That's not
Yeah, that's fine. He still went in.
Yeah, I guess I don't fear Dame. I don't fear Steph, so why would I fear mini Steph?
Oh, I fear Steph.
I don't have any respect for Portland. So I'm Portland. I think Portland because I think they suck. Who else? Who's even? I would want to save Oklahoma City for round two because that's an exciting series. You don't want to open with something like that. And who are the other options? Maybe San Antonio?
Utah is the other option.
I don't want to play Utah because we'll beat them, but it'll be like a beat them.
We match up well against Utah.
Yeah, we'll beat Utah. We'll beat them in six. It'll be a close six, and it'll be a physical six, and I don't want to have to play them. So I pick Portland. If they say this, Portland's not physical. I mean, do you think we would lose a series of Portland? Well, I'm going to eat these words. Watch Portland beat us in seven.
I think we could, yes.
I guess we could. You never know. You got to respect Portland when they get hot.
Yeah.
You don't have to, because I don't, but I probably should.
Yeah. Yeah. They can just score. Like, they can score well, and they match up well. They can rebound. They're like a bizarro version of the Rockets.
Yeah, but, like, so...
We're better defensively. Like, way better defensively.
And we're just better. Like, yeah. Harden's better than Dame.
Yeah.
Better than CJ McCollum. And Clint Capela is better than Yusuf Nurkic. And who else? And Rodney Hood? Like, everybody's better than Rodney Hood.
He's not that bad.
Name another Portland Trailblazer. Is Ed Davis still on the team? No, he's in Portland. He's in Brooklyn. So they lost their best bench guy. Evan Turner. Hooray. Like, what am I even supposed to respect on that team?
All right, let's move on, because this feels like we're jinxing the fuck out of ourselves. Or right, you right. are. You are.
All right, fine. Hey, so I went to Count the Things live.
Yes. How was that?
It was fucking fun. It was really fun.
Give me the full experience.
I was surprisingly nervous because I was like, some of these guys I've been listening to for so many years now. I was like, oh shit. Yeah. So the full experience, well, we fucking went to Boston, and that was a nightmare because Boston sucks. And then we walked to the place. It was this little bar, like a little venue. They have upstairs and a downstairs, almost like a Fitz maybe.
Okay.
But they also had like a pub where that served food. So it was like a multi-tiered thing.
Okay.
But it was real divey in a cool way. So we went downstairs. We were VIP, so we got to go in an hour early. And, you know, a couple of them mingled while we got drinks. And during the mingling sort of opening hour, so I noticed, like, who's out? Like, who's mingling? Zach Harper was mingling. I didn't get to talk to him, though, because he looked like he knew some people. So he was, like, out there, but not really talking. Big Waz, who was super just warm and easy to talk to. We actually, like, because Christina loves Big Waz.
Yeah, he's the best.
And he's the best. He's the star. And she loves Woke Bros. So she was the one she was hoping to meet were Waz and Michael Brooks. She was disappointed.
Was Michael Brooks there?
Nah, he was not there.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And Waz is coming down the stairs. And Christina goes, let's get a picture with Waz. I was like, all right, you want to talk to him? She's like, yeah. She's like, yeah. She knows a little bit about Waz because even though she only listens to Woke Bros, she doesn't listen to like the Mailbag and Basketball Bros, but I do. So we talk about Waz. And she was just like, tapped him on the shoulder and went, hey, like you missed me, you know?
Oh.
And Waz, who famously loves white girls.
Yes.
Turns and looks at my wife, and the look on his face is immediately like, whoa, you act like you know me. I hope that I do, you know? And that's when I slide in, like, hey, Waz, I'm a big fan. I love Woke Bros. And he realizes he's been had.
Okay.
But it was cool about it. And then we took a picture, and I made fun of him. He was like, I was like, hey, you want to take a picture with us? He's like, hell yeah. And I was like, I follow you on Instagram. I know you like having your picture taken. And he's like, oh, all right, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then we talked a little bit about Boston. He gave me a preview of the story he was going to tell on stage about, you know, Boston's low-key racist.
Yeah.
And he just said something like, I don't know why that guy was being like that. I was like, man, you know why. And he laughed, and he just went on stage.
So he was cool.
It was cool. Day before was super, like, working in the room real hard.
Okay. Real
nice guy. I talked to him about possibly being on the pod. I'll talk to him later. Hopefully he means it. And he was sort of like, oh, you're a professor. I met this professor over here and brought us together. He was bringing people together. He was really, I guess that was his job. And then what else? And then who else was out there? And then Jade was out there, who I thought was super stoned. They're saying on the thing that he was...
he's been sick, right?
Been sick. I feel like these can both be true. Yeah. So I'm going to assume that was, but he was super out of it. I was just trying to talk to him, and he was just like, And I was like, oh, that could be cough medicine.
Okay.
He definitely looked like he was NyQuil'd out, but he could also just be on fucking gummies.
Yeah.
Because those are rampant and legit. I'm on one right now. I'll admit it. Oh. I don't care.
All
right. Yeah, they're legal out here. It's great.
Yeah.
So that was that. And then, you know, a couple of people did a lap, a mean black tray. But after a while, like, I felt a little self-conscious. I was like, I'm going to stop, like, trying to, like, let them enjoy themselves. They sort of mingled with us, right? Like, Jerv came by, and I was wearing my throwback Akeem, and he was like, oh, that's awesome. I was like, thanks. And I was like, I love your hat, because he's wearing the old school 76ers.
Nice.
Because, you know, on brand, super 76ered out.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. But I do have one funny story.
Okay.
I got drunk. I got trashed. Because as soon as I got a bar, I was paying regular bar prices. Oh, this is like reasonable prices. It's not like a venue.
Oh, okay. So I would have got hammered.
Hammered. And then I find myself ordering a drink next to Tom Haberstroh. I was like, oh, I should talk to Tom Haberstroh. And in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm fucking good. I'm loose. Somebody charming. Out loud, I was like, hey, Tom, I love you on... And then I'm just like sort of doing the like the sort of drunken like lurch charging for the word.
No.
Like NBC. I was like, yeah, at NBC. I love the big
number.
And he's like, yeah, he's just trying to help me. He's trying to be nice, but you can tell he's just like, I ain't trying to talk to you, man.
Yeah. You drunk goober.
I was like, no. And I was like, that's it, I'm not talking to nobody else. And I just sat and it was hard, rough, because I sat drinking next to Pablo and Amin, just sort of hanging out and chilling. I was like, man, I just want to force my way into this conversation.
Oh, fuck.
This is pretty cool. It's like they walked into a bar I went to, which is basically what happened.
Yeah. You did the right thing by just leaving them alone.
Yeah, they seemed like it was obvious they were friends hanging out who hadn't seen each other in a while. I was intrude. And had I been more sober or less stoned or something, or more stoned, I might have actually found a way to be like cool about it for 1 minute just to get a picture. Because they definitely cut me off as approachable, right?
Yeah.
But the ones that were like working the room, like getting meeting people, taking pictures, was Waz, Dave, and Jade.
Okay.
Other than that, it was great getting to hear Bossa Novas live. I texted you what I learned. Yeah. I don't know if that's no spoilers, but I'm not going to say them on the air because and I told you what I heard. It was great, super insightful, getting to hear them be real. By the end, they did 4 segments. They did Bomb, Basketball Buds, they did a mailbag, and one other thing. One was just a panel of like the goats. So it was like a mean Henry Abbott was in the crowd, so he was there. Tom Haberstroh, and I forget who the 4th person was on that stage, but they were just like
the true hoop guys.
True hoop. Strauss was in the building, but he did not come out and talk.
Oh, okay.
All of it, and that was cool. And then by the end, I skipped the mailbag because me and Christina were just trashed and we were just mingling in the VIP section.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. It was like a thing that was apart, like a velvet rope, not a velvet rope situation, but like a definitely like need a wristband to get in there.
Yeah.
And only like 15 other VIPs. They didn't sell that many.
Really?
At least that's how many people were up at the bar. So it was really like at a bar.
Yeah.
Not hanging out with, but definitely at a bar at the same time as a bunch of my favorite podcasters. It was pretty cool.
Okay. Was there any post-show hanging out or anything?
They asked people like who was hanging out later, but we were so trashed.
Y'all were done.
Like, we're like, it's time to do this. Is definitely like hotel territory.
Okay.
Like they had made it like a couple people had said something about, like, Dave said, like, hey, if you guys are hanging out late, like, there's probably something going on late, you know, because we hung out with them in the VIP section.
Yeah.
And you could see they were sort of letting the VIPs know, because they did a Friday night thing, too, right, for the VIPs or for the
Discord
chat people, for the
chat. Oh, okay.
I forget exactly what. And who knows how much of that is, like, stick around, who knows? Or whether there was like an after hanging out, who knows?
Yeah.
Nation of both, I'm sure. But we didn't stick around to find out because it's like, all right, we need a hotel room if we're going to get Nate drunker.
Okay. Cool. I'm jealous. I'm still jealous, man.
Yeah, it was dope. It was dope. Friendly, great stories. Like their bomb episode was just shitting on Boston for an hour or like 30 minutes. It was amazing.
Good. That's well done.
It was amazing. Right in town. Yeah. Right. No, super on brand.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, they've announced their May. They're doing Chicago in May. I can't do that one either. So I gotta wait.
They gotta hit Texas sooner or later, right?
Ugh. Or Vegas. If they do a Vegas one, I'll fucking go to Vegas.
Ooh, I'll fly out for that.
Yeah, I'll fucking go to Vegas.
We haven't gone to Vegas together for like 10 years.
Oh, man, you're being generous. It's probably been 15.
Oh, that's
15. Yeah.
When you're living in the frozen north.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just in Vegas recently. The Excalibur is a lot shittier now.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want to smell the desperation when I walk in.
Oh, man. Famous living dead drowns all the boys and girls inside your bed. And if you could talk to me, tell me.
Let's see, you wanted to talk about the two trailers we just saw, Game of Thrones and Captain Marvel.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Pick one.
I just watched the Game of Thrones one. So let's go.
I had to take a dump, so I just saw it.
Yeah, I watched it at halftime of the game.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know much. I have a question that's related to this, but
okay. What
do you think? You're the bigger GOT fan than I am. I watch.
No, I hate it. I shit on all the time.
Yeah, but you enjoy hate watching.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I enjoy that, but that's because I fucking hate myself.
At this point, I'm just doing homework. I'm watching so I get the jokes.
Okay.
Cultural literacy. And I love Tyrion. I legit love Tyrion.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I haven't been. I was never that into it. Although I got why people did.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dark Lord of the Rings. I'll take Hopeful Lord of the Rings. But this is good. I enjoy it most of the time. I'm definitely glad that Littlefinger's dead so there's no more.
Oh, he's not dead. Problem
scenes. He's not dead?
He's not dead.
All right, hold on. This brings me to my first question. Wild predictions. My first wild prediction I ever got right was Littlefinger dying and the way he was going to die.
Okay.
That Sansa and Arya weren't really being pitted against each other, or they were aware of it, and they teamed up, and they were gonna kill him, and like in some like big fashion, and they did. You think Littlefinger's alive?
Yeah, Littlefinger. Like that was the best theory I've seen online is that it was one of the faceless people. Like he paid one of them because he had one of their coins. But yeah, like that's no Littlefinger ain't going down that easy. My thing is Littlefinger's alive.
Oh no! That would undo mine.
I know. But no, you were right.
Oh, I guess I was right.
Yeah, you were right.
That would be amazing. I hope that's true.
Yeah, I hope so too. Because that would be a good twist.
If that's true, we have to have a future pod about who is the bigger unkillable snake. Fucking Littlefinger or Orochimaru.
Ooh. Orochimaru, because that guy legit died and came back.
Yeah. By the time he comes back at the end, it's just sort of like, fine, you're back, but you're good now, right? Because I can't keep doing this.
Oh, who else? Man, that's a good man. Okay,
I gotta
make a list.
But I gotta feature one of those.
Okay. Yeah, because I need some time to think those out.
You got to put Voldemort in there, right? Unkillable Snake. Yeah, Slytherin.
Literally, yeah.
But, But I got a related question, and I ask people this a lot. Okay. Who is worse at their job if your job is to be a hero? Who's worse?
Okay.
Jon Snow
or
Tony Stark?
Jon Snow.
Why Jon Snow? Let's list their low lights.
Well, here's why.
All right.
Jon Snow's still going to lose.
Jon Snow's a loser.
Yeah, he's going to lose.
Everybody loves Jon Snow, but he's a fucking loser.
Yeah. If Game of Thrones actually follows the narrative beat that its ending is actually the end of Game of Thrones, there is no win here. Like, there is no winner of the Iron Throne. Everybody loses the Iron Throne. Like, Jon Snow's going to die. The White Walkers are going to win. Or no one wins. Like, no one's winning this, and Jon Snow's going to lose. He's lost everything.
The best I've heard about this, the best theory I've heard about it, is going to be the ending of The Wire. Like, there will be winners in the short term, but the game will continue. The real winner will be the game.
Yeah.
And the circumstances will be set up for this to continue, there never to be peace.
Yeah.
Like, as long as there's a game to play, there will be players.
It's that makes the most sense.
There may be a temporary winner that comes somebody will win, maybe Daenerys, but she'll win a Pyrrhic victory where everyone she loves is dead.
Yeah.
And all she has left is to live with is her spite. And she'll become her father, right? Mm-hmm. It's something like that.
Cycles repeat.
And maybe the players are different. Maybe people play a different role. Mm-hmm. But the game will continue. That makes the most sense to me.
Yeah. It also makes sense because that show borrows so much from The Wire, storytelling-wise, and the way it's shot and the way it focuses on characters. Like, it's really like, this show couldn't exist as it is without The Wire. It would make sense it would end that way.
Do you think that... Is there, I don't know enough about either one of these shows. A little bit more about The Wire. Do they have similar showrunners or writers?
No.
It's just an influence? They don't.
It's just an influence. It's like, how do you tell a story like this with so many players? It's just like The Wire showed how to do it. They just clearly borrowed a lot of it.
That makes sense.
You know?
Sense.
And it's HBO, so like I'm sure they have common producers.
So Jon Snow versus Tony Stark. Jon Snow, here's his resume.
Tony Stark's still going to win.
Wait, hold on. We'll get to that. Okay. Jon Snow, here's his resume. All right, so he starts off, he's a bastard, and we're told not to respect him.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the Wall, promptly betrays the Wall, joins the Wildlings, promptly betrays the Wildlings, fails to keep his wife alive, fails to keep himself alive, becomes captain as a shitty captain. He's supposed to do something else, and he fails at that. He's supposed to not die, and he dies. He doesn't even stay dead, so he can't even do that right.
He failed at dying.
He loses the Wall. He loses a dragon. He banged his aunt. Like, am I missing one of his spectacular failures? Because it feels like he's just sucks.
Yeah.
Like, he just sucks. Okay. Like, he should. It's almost like Boromir. Like, Rob Stark.
Yeah.
Boromir. And he's Faramir, and we're stuck with the lesser of the two. And that's the greater tragedy. Oof. Except that Faramir rises to the occasion.
I was going
to
say, that seems like an insult to Faramir. He's better than Jon. That's
the
difference.
No, Jeremy, but that is the context in which we meet Faramir. Those are Denethor's words, that the wrong one died, right? Yeah.
The wrong kid died.
That's not subtext, that's text, right?
Yeah.
But then he wins. He wins at the end because he overcomes that and he finds his own things that he has to offer. But Jon Snow doesn't just know nothing. He kind of has and is nothing. Like, he sucks. Now here's Tony Stark, right? We're going to MCU Tony Stark. So number one, gets captured in Afghanistan, realizing he's creating destruction in the world. So the first thing we learn about him is that he's basically an accomplice in mass murder, right? This will be a theme for Tony Stark. And then he fucking loses the suit to Ironmonger because of his, you know, just not smart about anything. And it has this big destruction in the middle of the city. Created his own villain, right? And then the second one, there's all that mess of subplots. But again, Whiplash, he created his own villain. Except this time his father created it for him, but it's still the same thing.
Yeah, same shit.
And then in Age of Ultron, he literally creates the villain.
Yeah.
Avengers 1, did he fuck Kenny Major fuck-ups? No, that one was a win for him, I think, the first Avengers.
Yeah, he's the big hero at the end, yeah.
Right. And then there's Infinity War, he fails, and who knows what's going to happen at the end. However, you could argue Ultron was a success, and but because he was trying to make Ultron. So it's just like when Jon Snow fucks up, people he loves die. When Tony Stark fucks up, just fucking hundreds of millions of innocent people die. Like, hundreds of thousands of innocent people die. Civil War taught us that. Oh, and of course there's Civil War, right? Where he breaks up the Avengers, which leads to arguably the fact, because part of the Avengers Endgame is going to be like restoring the Avengers so they're ready, right? That's going to be obviously be part of it. And he fucked them up. He'll fuck up the Avengers too for being a narc-ass Kamala Harris-ass bitch.
Okay.
Hey, that you want to talk about the 2020 contenders? And I'm
just, no, I don't. I don't. I don't.
Okay, that's all I got.
Okay. I still think Jon Snow's worse.
I haven't picked.
Okay.
So why is Jon Snow worse? I haven't picked. I usually pick with Tony Stark because of the numbers argument. I think that's one of the points we have to make, but I haven't picked yet.
Jon Snow's stupid plan took down the wall. The one thing holding back the thing that they've all feared forever. Like, his stupid fucking plan cost them a dragon, which didn't exist for thousands of years, and the wall.
All the way back to episode one.
Yeah.
Jon Snow is a living, breathing version of the you had one job.
Meme. One job. Protect the wall.
Protect the wall. That was your one job. Yeah. We would have forgiven all these other fuck ups, right? Mm-hmm. You had one job.
One job. And his actions led to the destruction of it. Yeah.
Jon Snow, man, I'm with you. Jon Snow.
Jon Snow.
I also just
sucks, man.
I also just like Tony Stark.
Well, and Tony Stark's got time to rally. I think Jon Snow's already lost.
Yeah. Yeah, he can... what's his name? Can still even tip the scales back, right, in the other direction. He can still be a net gain. But Jon Snow... Breaking even feels like too high.
Yeah.
He's in the lottery now. He's got a tank. Jon Snow's got a tank.
Oh, and everybody loves him. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Really? I don't get it. I just don't get Jon Snow love. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Is it the narrative of the character? For a while, I thought it was Kit Harington, but he hasn't crossed over at all, so it can't be Kit Harington.
Is it just like, I'm supposed to root for this guy, so I'm rooting for him? Like, I don't get it.
I think maybe that he's the only one that seems like he has any, like, I think he's the only one that has any sort of, like, I don't know, like, unambiguous goodness to him.
Yeah.
And
he's definitely on the hero's journey, like, fucking just...
This world not taught you to not buy into that? Like,
yes, I know!
Ever shown any sympathy for Knight, for, I don't know,
idealism? Like, you should have got thrown that out the window when Ned Stark lost his head.
Last time we saw an idealistic character, she got stabbed in the baby.
Yes. But that's probably my biggest problem with the show now. It doesn't feel like the show gets that anymore.
Yeah, the show, I think, is just... This just needs to end, I think.
Yeah.
They've run out of... No, you know what? They have run out of narrative gas. It's just time to be entertaining. It's kind of like Return of the King, and I'm actually fine with that.
Yeah.
Return of the King, like, we've built all this character, we've done as much as we're going to, now we're just going to resolve the story. And, I mean, I never was that into the narrative to begin with, so I'm fine with this being entertaining. Let's see some zombie on dragon action. I've never seen that before.
Hopefully we see lots of it. Lots and lots of it.
Yeah.
I want to see a zombie dragon fight. That's what I'm the most excited for, is the zombie dragon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm honestly hoping for a finale, a final season of fan service.
Yeah.
Just do it. The books can be thoughtful and strange.
Oh, I don't read the books. I only watch the TV show, so I don't give a shit what happens in the book.
Exactly. So let the TV show just give fan service. Don't do the Lost thing. Don't be so lost for something to do that you just pretend that this is allegorical. Like, no. Do a real ending. Yeah. Neon Genesis, low-key, first Lost, like, that ending, while interesting, is a super, like, we didn't know how to end this, so here's an abstract set of images.
Well, no, that they ran out of budget, but two, I fucking love that ending. I fucking love it.
I like it too, but yeah. Does it kind of feel like, fuck it, roll the dice, and they're the only ones who hit
Yeah, but it strips away everything and like, oh no, it takes away the subtext. This is the text.
Are you going to watch it when it's on, are you going to rewatch it when it's on Netflix?
Probably.
We should do that as a thing on the pod.
I would like to. I'd also like to see Ava with my current mind.
Yeah.
You know, because like I've only seen it in like my early 20s. Like yeah. Well, the last time I watched it was my early 20s.
Yeah, that was when I watched it. So yeah. How much of this is a sort of pretentious college pop brain, and how much is this actually brilliant?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Is this going to be Holden Caulfield? Please don't.
I got a lot of affection for Holden Caulfield. I mean that one, like here's the thing that why Holden Caulfield will never die and why he should never die.
Yeah.
Let me argue Holden Caulfield, because I, in many ways, I owe Holden Caulfield my entire career. I don't know how we're talking about Holden Caulfield, but here we go.
Yeah.
I owe him my entire career because when I used to love to read, as you know, I read comics, I read pop sci-fi, I read stuff like, Jurassic Park, Michael Crichton, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I bought Catcher in the Rye because it had a real hipster cover, and I was like, this is something that looks like a smart person buys. So I bought it. It's just totally pretentious. I bought that. I remember that I bought it. I bought that and Dante's Inferno. Dante's Inferno, super overrated. Catcher in the Rye, though, is ultimately the narrative of a kid whose intelligence is outpacing his maturity and thinks he's better than everybody for it, right?
Yeah.
And if you're not like 14 to 17 and read that book, and it's very male version of it too, right? Because it's protecting a little girl figure. He doesn't sleep with a prostitute because he's better than that, and so should you be, so it's judgmental. Like, it's a super problematic, like, young man's smarter than everybody, I'm better than the world. And there's always this little bit of like, particularly women, it's all kinds of problematic. It's not terribly, it's not like sexist or racist, but it's like it's an antique. However, let's put it that way, it's an antique, not really compatible right anymore. It's like a gas bulb, like we don't do that anymore, you know. You know, LED, update your shit. With that being said, that feeling travels through time. And it caught me in that moment. And I was like, yes, I too am balking at what I see at the hypocrisy of an adult world I am about to enter and am assuming my own moral superiority to it, only to be very quickly disillusioned of my presumption. Like, that story travels forever.
Yeah.
With that being said, like, it's absolutely a trope of, like, hipster kids that need to get over themselves. Yeah. Like, and, but...
I just fear with Ava, like that, I can't go back to that. Because now I'm just going to want to just like, you I know.
Never be with Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah.
Never. Never. Yeah. Some things you just don't go back to. Sometimes some things you let be an artifact of your past.
Yeah. Like, I can still watch Bebop. Like, I fucking bought Bebop on Blu-ray a couple years ago. I rewatched all of it. It's still fucking great. Yeah. I rewatched Champloo. Like, I can still like those I can just watch. So much.
Started to rewatch it.
Yeah.
It holds up. DNA does probably hold up, and for no other reason is that it's in the sort of like DNA of anime now. Like, there's like, it's such a big influence. Like, I just rewatched Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm.
And it holds up not just on its own. It does hold up on its own, but it also holds up because like, this movie is in the source DNA of so many like crime procedurals, serial killer stuff. Like, it's just all like, it established the genre. You could argue Neon Genesis kind of did too. The sort of like, sort of like surreal mixed anime, like the surrealist to the realist Gundam. So I think that it'll probably hold up just for that reason. Yeah.
So, okay, you brought Silence of the Lambs
recently.
Let's talk about that.
All right.
How did it hold up, especially the end where she catches him?
It was great.
It still holds up. Okay.
She had interest in it. She loved it. She started watching it.
Okay. She had never seen it. Okay.
No, it works great. It works great. The scene where, and then the end where she, you know, she takes the phone.
She can't see him,
And he's got the night vision
goggles. Yeah, how did that play?
No, it worked. It still works.
It still works. Okay. Still works.
That idea still works. That technology, it's still.
I've just seen it done so many times now, and sometimes better than that. But I'm curious how it is to revisit that.
Here's the thing. Like what I was saying earlier, there's so many times, and maybe this is one of those where I'd be like, oh, this scene weirdly is not dated, is not aged well, and is weirdly timeless.
Okay.
Because so many people have done this shot, and many people are versions of it. And of course, technology has improved, and film technique has improved. People have both revised it and also had better technology with which to revise in the 30 years or whatever since that movie came out.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel awkward or like it didn't knock me out of the movie. Sometimes when you look at old movies,
like,
the special effects are so weird, or the camera techniques are so weird that or outdated, they feel clunky and it knocks you out of the narrative. I never once felt that way.
Okay.
It has aged wonderfully.
Okay. I want to rewatch it because that's a great movie.
Part of the reason it's aged so well is that the pre-cell phone era has been so encapsulated by pop culture because cell phones caused so many problems narratively. You just eliminate them by setting it in the 90s. Watching Umbrella Academy, which I really like, is doing that same thing. It didn't announce that this is basically taking place in the late 80s, early 90s, but eventually you sort of realize that it must be because no one has cell phones and people are still using taxis. Not to come into conversation, we can go back to Silence of the Lambs if you want, but Umbrella Academy, watch it. Like, it's
really
weird amalgam of like if Wes Anderson did a superhero movie that's actually a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, okay.
It's super indie styles. It's really devoted to character. It's got just enough magical realism and absurdism because some of the creators are Brazilian, so they love that shit. Just go with it kind of logic. Don't think about it too much. And it so much loves Wes Anderson that it went and got basically a kid to do a Jason Schwartzman impersonation, and he's great.
Okay. There was a reason I told myself I was going to refuse to watch it. And what was it? I believe it's because of who wrote it. Or who wrote the comic book.
Hey.
Is that who wrote it?
Yeah, I don't know anything about him. I know because Father Moon is the artist.
Oh, it's the lead singer of My Chemical Romance. That's why.
Wait, really?
Yeah. That's why.
That explains a few things. You realize I'm making Chemical Romance, the theme song.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah. Please.
I want to say, shout out to X-Men for creating, I think, the best superhero trope of all time, which is School for Superheroes. Think of all the different spin-offs or versions of this. Harry Potter is just a version of the X-Men.
Same thing, yeah.
It's just a version of the X-Men. My Hero Academia is just a version of the X-Men. Umbrella Academy is just a version of the X-Men. There's that show, The Powered or whatever, on FX right now. It's just a version of the X-Men. Like, the X-Men idea of a superhero full of a school where you go to learn to be magical and superpowered.
It's great idea.
It's the best. It's not a good idea, Joe.
No, it's a story. Yeah. It's
the best idea. It's the best premise for a superhero show there is. There's no better one.
No.
There's no better one. Alien from Outer Space, pretty good, but there's only so many lanes that goes in. Right? But School for Superhero Dumb, school for going to learn to be magical and awesome, will never get old. It's the best idea. The X-Men is responsible for everything everybody loves. I say what some of them meant because I'm not excited about the Dark Phoenix. To me, the X-Men universe, I'll cape for in the big picture.
Yeah.
I think it truly ended with Logan.
Yeah, no, they should. That should have been it. And then Disney takes over. New universe. Yeah.
I don't know what's Disney. I'm not excited about Disney X-Men. I don't want it. I very seriously don't.
But yeah, I know you've been against it.
But the current one has run out of steam. This current universe is out of steam. I never thought the prequel universe was that great, but neither was the original one. No. It just had super high watermarks and super low watermarks. It was the most schizophrenic of all the franchises. At least DC stays shitty, right?
Yeah.
X-Men occasionally would be brilliant and then disappoint you immediately. Like, it's a frustrating thing to be an X-Men.
Sometimes in the same movie.
Like, the Wolverine. That one was, like...
The first Wolverine movie is still the high mark of the X-Men cinematic universe.
Man, I don't care what you say. That helicopter.
I fucking love that movie. That movie is so crap.
That helicopter scene is an all-time.
Great. It's a fucking... I fucking love that terrible movie.
I mean, own it. So obviously, I have no issues with it. Dark Phoenix, but time to let it go. Time to let it die.
It just seems like one, we don't need another one of these. Two, it's written and directed by the guy who wrote the first X3.
See, they know. They're just gonna they're smart enough to let Phoenix win. That would be surprising. Destroy the universe, right? And they can be reborn in the MCU.
Are they still hands-on with it though right now? Are they is Disney have a say so in what they're doing yet, since it's not official or it's not done yet, I guess?
Who knows? We know that they recently did some very late reshoots. Because the movie sucks, which is totally possible.
Oh yeah, this movie.
But some people have been like the reshoots were announced after the nerd merger was announced. That might be part of it. End your movie in a way that connects to ours. They had to jump one legal hurdle by March 1st in order to do so, and they did it.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I don't know if I want to make this prediction, but what they're saying is at the end of Endgame, the possibility now legally exists for a teaser for them taking the properties, and who knows what that'll look like. Because the weird thing is, if Endgame ends with it, Phoenix takes place before, but is released after, so it's a little weird.
Yeah,
probably not, but whatever. The XU needs to just stop now. It's done.
Yeah, it's over.
It's told its amazing stories. It validated its own existence, and for no other reason. Days of Future Past, X2, X1, Logan, and Deadpool. I think it's clearly I think it's a net victory.
Yeah.
But it's like Brett Favre. And I think Logan is the GOAT movie. But I also think that it's Brett Favre now, and he just needs to retire.
Yeah, it needs to be done. And all the actors are done with it.
We have entered the Washington Wizards era of the X-Men universe, and it just needs to...
What else we got?
Man, that's all I got. Oh, Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel.
Yeah, okay, I'm seeing it Thursday too. Are you excited? Because I'm not really excited. I just feel obligated to see it. To see it.
I'm excited because I'm seeing it in San Antonio with David.
Oh, okay. That's, yeah. Fuck yeah.
I feel the same way. I feel obliged. I feel obliged in the same way I felt obliged to see Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Black Panther. Doctor Strange. And now this one. And that I feel obliged to go see the Origin movie to support it so they keep making them. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure it'll be fun. This feels like it's going to be, the reviews are ranging like crazy and it's hard.
I've seen some, yeah.
I tend to trust IGN, although I round their scores down. So I think that this probably will be a fun origin movie, but like Doctor Strange, it'll be super loyal to a Marvel formula that you're kind of tired of right now, but it's funny and the actors are good and they've built an interesting enough world to make you believe that the second one will be good. I feel that way about Black Panther, Ant-Man, Captain Marvel, and Doctor Strange. And Ant-Man delivered on a fun movie within its universe. Black Panther ended up exceeding my expectations because it was better than I thought it would be for an origin movie, but I still think still stuck in some of the trappings of an origin movie. Doctor Strange was whatever. It was fine.
No, it wasn't. Doctor Strange is a bad movie. That movie sucked.
I don't think it's bad. I just don't think
it sucked. It was just Iron Man. It was legit Iron Man.
Yeah.
Beat by fucking beat. It was the same movie.
Which is what probably...
Lazy.
Which is probably what Captain Marvel will be.
Oh, I hope not.
But Doctor Strange made me believe that a second Doctor Strange movie, freed now from having to do this, like, reassure you that this is something...
See, that's my frustration with the MCU. Is like, I don't... If you're going to make a bad origin movie, I don't need that movie. I just didn't need it. Like, just fucking Doctor Strange exists. Let's go. You know? Give me that movie. Give me that movie if you're going to give me a terrible origin movie.
Right. Just this person exists already. Yeah. That's what I want.
We get it.
That's what was fun about Homecoming. They haven't learned a Spider-Man lesson. Spider-Man, though, has cachet in a way that Captain Marvel doesn't. They have to explain Captain Marvel. She is kind of weird, her character and her powers. I'm excited that Captain Marvel is going to be a thing at all. I love Captain Marvel. Yeah. I love the Kelly Sudonick. I can't say her name. Sully Kudonick, Donanick. Oh, I can't say her name. Anyway, her run in 2012 was fantastic.
Yeah,
I know this is borrowing a lot from that. I saw the cats in it, so the cats in the comic, so that's a cool shout out. So I'm excited that Captain Marvel is. See, let me put it two different ways. Am I excited about the Captain Marvel movie? No. Just like I wasn't excited about the Doctor Strange movie. I'm excited that Doctor Strange entered the MCU. Super excited. I'm excited that Captain Marvel entered the MCU. Super excited. Because Doctor Strange, to me, was the best thing about Infinity War. And sort of on the second tier level, because he's sort of relegated to backup player. But I thought all his scenes were great, including doing the Kaiju Bunshin
no Jutsu. Oh, yeah. No, he's great in that movie. I'm just I'm more upset that his movie sucked.
Right, but I think I believe his second movie will now be good because he's freed from having to do the formula. Yeah. Captain Marvel feels exactly the same way. I think this movie will be an alright origin movie, but now we all know who she is. So when she fucking crushes it in Endgame, it's not a surprise. So I feel like I almost have to wait to see Endgame to see how I feel about this movie. This is almost like an exposition, like this is like an issue zero or a spin-off. Like, go read that and then come back to the main story, like a crossover rules. This is almost like a tie-in. And tie-ins are never satisfying, but they do add context so you understand the thing that happens in the main story better, right? So I think it's basically that. And for $10, sure. Like, I'll do it because I like Captain Marvel and I'm excited she's going to be in the MCU. And I think that that is a net gain, although this is just that awkward step where I wish we could not do this anymore. But it's Disney. And I think at some level, Kevin Feige agrees, but it's Disney. And they're like, no. Fucking roll that movie out. We want to make a cool $700 million.
Yeah. And this one is just this one frustrates me because it's the clearest cash grab movie. Like, of all the movies they've released, like, the one before Infinity War, like Ant-Man was a giant cash grab, but this one is just like, okay, here's a new character right before the one you really want to see, because you gotta fucking see this one, you fuckers. Yeah. You want any little bit, so you're gonna pay to see this.
But they could have done anything, and that would have been true.
No, I know, but it's fucking, it's very frustrating.
But on the other hand, hey, you can skip it. You
know, I'm not. I'm a sucker. They already got me. They got all my money.
But that's the thing, man. You can skip it. You can skip it. You know who Captain Marvel is. You can skip it. I want to see it. I want to see Captain Marvel, like, on the screen. Like, I want to see her, and I'll take... And just like I wanted to see Doctor Strange, and I'll take the mediocre origin movie to happen. I'll make that trade. I'll pay, essentially, double pay, because I'm going to see this and Endgame. And I'll pay $20 for essentially one good movie's worth of Carol Danvers, but I'll, you know what, I've paid more money for less good things than that, you know.
I just want Rogue to show up at the end of the movie.
Rogue, that'd be amazing. That'd be amazing.
That's all I want.
That would almost make the X-Men entering the MCU worth it.
Yeah.
So I'm just already mad at the nice human character they write into the X-Men to show that some humans were tolerant. Which human is going to live at the X-Men with them and make sure they get to use the bathroom they want? Like,
the X-Men Green Book?
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be from the human's point of view. It's going to be a normal-ass human who narrates that story. Oh my God. Or Hidden Figures, or fucking Hidden Figures is trash, or fucking, that whole genre. That
Yeah.
whole genre of like.
Did you see the new Taraji movie trailer?
No.
Oh my God, what's the name of this movie? Hold on. Hold on. It's her and what's his name? The guy who won the Oscar for Three Billboards. Great actor. He's in Iron Man 2.
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell.
Ah, first guess, right on.
Yeah,
I love
Sam
Sam
Rockwell.
Rockwell.
He
I need to
plays
see
a
Vice. Or what is it called? Is it called Vice?
Oh yeah, the Chaney movie. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
Vice. But Sam Rockwell plays a Klans member who
I
works with a black lady
Wait.
to end segregation.
I did see this trailer. And I remember thinking, Sam Rockwell, what are you doing?
Getting another racist
Make me come see this.
Look, man, not all clan members are bad.
Oh man. So when a green book comes out with the script is being marked around, or when this trash movie gets fucking shopped around, I wonder if they like, so do you have to be in that movie because you lost a bet or because you won a bet? Like, because
Yeah.
that's such an awesome bait.
No, you he's entered the realm where now he gets pitched Oscar bait directly. Like he's their go-to.
Oh man.
Because he's a winner now, so he's always gonna get
He's gonna
nominated.
do a southern accent too, isn't he?
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh,
Oh,
yeah.
fuck me,
And he might
man.
win another Oscar.
And here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's where I get compromised personally. This is my struggle with Green Book.
Yeah.
That movie's ridiculous. The whole
Yeah.
concept's ridiculous. The family complaining about it. I knew it would win the Oscar. Of course it did,
Yeah.
because it's been too long since we had a crash, you know?
Yeah.
But here's the thing is I love Mahershala Ali and I love Viggo Mortensen, so I want to see it
Yeah.
for them, but
I actually hear it's very well made.
Right?
As a
Yeah.
film, I hear it's
It can't
very
be
well made.
incompetent. It can't be incompetent.
I
It's just
hear
a
it's very
narrative
well
that's
made.
so bad, you
I
know?
can't watch it because of the baggage. I just can't. I can't do
Yeah,
it.
I don't think I
Yeah.
can enjoy it, which makes it even
Oh.
angry. And I
Oh.
feel that way about Sam Rockwell. Like, I love
Oh.
Sam Rockwell. What are you doing? I want to
Yeah.
see it.
You too. That guy's a great actor. I didn't
Yeah.
watch Three Billboards because of it. Like, it's fucking make it's not, I can't watch movies now because of the baggage. Like, it sucks.
Well, you know, there's plenty of other entertainment.
I know. I know. That's why I play video games. There's no baggage there.
Yeah. Talk about a welcoming, tolerant community.
Yes.
Yeah.
Video games never led to anything bad.
Certainly never felt anyone make anyone feel excluded.
No.
Yeah.
Who can't just relax and play a good game? Come
Right.
on.
Right.
Like, come
Right.
on.
Or participate in the creation of those games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's welcome.
Right.
Play on Twitch.
Oh, we gotta do our Twitch thing.
We
We gotta
do.
do.
We
We gotta.
do.
All right, we're making a commitment on the air. At some point this summer,
Okay.
we will start our Twitch channel,
Twitch
where the
Stonians.
Twitchstonians, I love it, on brand,
Yeah.
and we will open our Twitch channel by finally doing Dark Souls. My first experience is Dark Souls. I've never played it. And Joe, who's a seasoned expert and part of the masochistic cult that is Dark Souls, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And your job is to shepherd my character through the world of Dark Souls. So
Okay.
it's turning all of Dark Souls into one long escort mission.
Cool. And hopefully, I will have forgotten enough of it. I'll be super confused and we'll get frustrated together.
Just don't kill me, because I refuse to
No,
look
you're
for
gonna die. You're gonna
anything.
die.
I refuse to do anything other than run.
Okay. That's fine. Oh, man, that'll be fun. Just a run.
What am I doing?
You're gonna have to fight bosses, though.
I can't just like hide in a corner?
No, you gotta beat them.
I can't run around?
You gotta be you even if you can. You're gonna have to, but you're gonna have to
fight combat. I really want a Shaggy and Scooby at the whole night, the whole time.
Maybe we'll co-op these, and then you can just hide and hit in the corner, and then I'll beat the bosses.
There you go.
Okay, maybe that. All right, I like it.
Summer, it's coming. Witchstonians.
All right, man. Good night, man.
All right, good night, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. Later, man.